Hello, Harold. This is Joe Lamoureux. I've thrown together some voice samples, which I'm sending to Walter Upoff, and I'm going to make a copy of this here on this tape for you. They're interesting to listen to, and occasionally perhaps you run across people who would like to hear some samples, and I guess the more samples one has, the better off he is. So this was sort of an experiment. Normally, Michael and I both record strictly by microphone, and the voices that we receive are very weak. However, I have been experimenting with radio voices. And some of these radio voices were received on a frequency where there was absolutely no radio broadcasting, and there was only radio static. Others were received on a frequency where radio stations were coming in the background. However, the radio stations were interfering with each other, were distorted and garbled. But the voices, when they do come through on a frequency like this, are rather clear and undistorted, some of them anyway. They do have the tape voice characteristics. They use rather choppy speech and often speak quite fast. So I have these samples, and I'm going to re-record them onto this tape so that you can have them also. And I hope that you will get some use out of them. At least you can listen to them. So, without further ado, here are the samples. Sample number one says, "I'm curious, Walter Upoff." Example number two is quite interesting. This was recorded when Michael and I were both present, and I can't really tell if it's a male or female voice, but it says, "Here's Joe and Mike." Example number three is a male voice, apparently, and this was during the same recording as the last one, only a little bit later, and this time the voice says, "Joe's calling Dina." On both of these you can tell that the frequency wasn't absolutely clear. It was kind of warbly in the background. But here it is anyway, a voice which says, "Joe's calling Dina." Number four was also made during this same recording, and this time it's another male voice which says, "We see a dominant." Number five is taken from another recording made in December. This time I had asked for the Medrick, the healers on the other side. I wanted to talk to them about possibly doing some healing on a friend of mine who had broken his collarbone. And one of the first loud voices that came through says, "I'm going to talk about what he says." Thank you. Number 6 is also from the same tape. I did have contact with the Medrick, and I had asked them about doing some healing. And one of the first voices I got was the next one coming up, and it was a male voice, and it says, "We are involved in a project." In this case, the frequency wasn't clear, and you can hear radio transmissions in the background, and you can see that they are distorted and garbled, but the voice is fairly clear. So here it is, example number 6, "We are involved in a project." Number 7 is quite interesting. It follows almost immediately after the sample I just played on the same frequency. And actually, it's 3 voices. The first and the last are very fast. The first one says very quickly, "So important." Then this loudest, clearest voice says, "Busy fixing everyone." And then right at the end of that, another voice says, "Important." So here it is, "So important. Busy fixing everyone. Important." Example number 8 is an interesting comment. Apparently comes from one of the Medrick, and perhaps it has to do with the project they're involved in, but it is a male voice, and it says, "Diphtheria, hope I can fix it." Also in that sample, you can tell that there were radio frequencies interfering in the background. Sample number 9 is the last one from that particular recording, and this time it's a little weaker, but it's not too hard to hear, and it's another male voice which says, "You'll have to guide us to you." Number 10 is interesting. This was another recording about a week later, on the 16th of December, as a matter of fact. I had asked if anyone could give me any information about the third level of pylon centric, since about all we knew about pylon centric is that it has 3 levels concerning the structure. And we do know absolutely nothing about the third level of pylon centric. So I asked, and the very first voice I got was quite loud, and it's a male voice, and it says, "Joe, why the foolish question?" This is one of the voices I was talking about, the one I just played, that has music in the background. Someone was singing, and it's there during the entire recording, but I have the responses anyway, and you can see how they differ from what is being broadcast. So now I'll go on to the next one, number 11. The singing is very loud in this one, but there's a female voice sort of riding over the top of the singing, and it simply says, "The Voices." Example number 12 is a male voice this time, and this is one of the things I was fishing for in this recording, trying to get loud voices. This time the voice simply says one word, "Pylon centric." It was quite interesting during the course of this communication. We only know of three people who live in Pylon Centric, according to the voices, and one of them is Henry David Thoreau. And I didn't ask, but since I was talking to them about Pylon Centric, they told me that they were bringing Henry David Thoreau. And a couple of times they referred to him as an angel. And this is one of the times, one of the louder times. It's a male voice, and it says, "Angel, embrace him." A little later in the tape, they indicated that Henry David Thoreau had arrived, and a voice claiming to be Henry David Thoreau did speak to me and identified himself as Henry David Thoreau. And he did say one thing that is loud enough to hear over the speaker. What he said was, "I come through to very few people." And the words "to very few people" are the loudest and easier to hear. But I wanted to put this one on anyway, since it is the voice of a person claiming to be Henry David Thoreau. So this is number 14. "I come through to very few people." Number 15 is a microphone voice, and you'll be able to hear some baby chicks chirping in the background. There's some chicks that I hatched in a homemade incubator, and I have them up here in my listening room, and they won't be quiet when I want them to, so I just have to ignore them. But I asked a question, which I will play, and the reply says, "I'm ready to talk to you now." It's a female voice. "Will you please
give me very loud voices, loud enough to hear over the speaker.
Number 16 is from a little later in the same recording session. And what I was doing here was making very short recordings because we had noticed quite often that the voices a lot of times speak loud shortly after the experimenter's voice has just stopped, as soon as he stops talking. And I was trying to see how often this would happen, and it did happen quite often. Some of them were loud by my standards, but would be quite weak by other people's standards. But anyway, here's another one. I ask another question, and then the reply is, I want you to help me out.
Can you hear me?
The next one, number 17, is a perfect example of how closely the voices sometimes follow the experimenter's voice. And this is one of those cases. In fact, it follows so closely that I will have to play my question through and the response. And I'll play them both over four times. My question is, how does the fact that I have just finished speaking help you to speak loud? And a female answers immediately, someone's coming through. Not a very good answer, but that's what she says.
How does the fact that I have just finished speaking help you to speak loud? How does the fact that I have just finished speaking help you to speak loud? How does the fact that I have just finished speaking help you to speak loud? How does the fact that I have just finished speaking help you to speak loud?
Number 18 is another one of these voices that comes a little while after I spoke. I'll play my question, and then you'll hear the response, no reason. And I'll play the response over a few times by itself.
Sometimes you can speak very loud, and other times you can't speak loud at all.
Sound just before the voice said no reason was my son Kenny yelling, and you'll notice that that voice was quite muffled, as a lot of them are, but people will have to get used to muffled voices, I guess, if they're going to listen. Number 19 is taken from another tape. This time I was trying to get a hold of a man named John D. who died in 1608, I mean. And he was an interesting person that Michael and I had run across while looking through an encyclopedia. So I had decided to ask for him. And I asked the voice entities if they can help me. And
You can hear a fairly loud response by microphone, which says, "What for?"
"This is Joe. I need your help tonight."
Number 20 is from the same tape, and I'll play my question, and then you can hear a male response, which says, "Who does he want?"
"I would like for you to bring a man named John D., who died in December in 1608 at Mortlake, England. He was a mathematician, astrologer, and an alchemist. Do you think that you can help me?"
The next example is the next recording session that I had, and again I was asking for John D., and I'll play my question, and then a few seconds later you should be able to hear a male voice say, "John is coming through," immediately followed by a female voice which says, "What do you want with John?" I'll play the whole thing once and then play the two responses over a few times.
"This is Joe. I would like to talk to John D. again. Can you bring him from Montelu?"
That's all the samples I have for now, and I realize that some of them are pretty weak for a person who has an untrained ear. Michael and I are able to hear them quite well. One comment though, these microphone voices are to us better for the simple fact that all radio voices, in my opinion, are a little suspicious. Simply due to the fact that they are received over radio, and a person can always say that they might be stray radio signals. It's a little more difficult for a person to say this using microphone, especially when one is present during the recording and the voice is not heard during the recording but only on the playback. But I believe that radio recordings are valid, and after a person is practiced in hearing the voices, one is able to distinguish the tape voices from broadcast voices which may drift in, because the tape voice characteristics are there, and they sound quite a bit different from regular broadcast voices, and they do give some good samples, but I wouldn't advise a person to use that method in the beginning simply because it may be suspicious. However, it seems all right to use it later when a person is practiced in hearing, especially when you can also hear the weaker portion of the voice down underneath. So here are these samples, and I hope they'll be of some use to you. And I was going to write a letter to go along with this tape, but I think I'll just go ahead and say what I was going to say right on the tape. It's a little late to worry about this, I guess, but I certainly hope you have access to a cassette recorder. I'm pretty sure that you probably do. One thing that I wanted to mention, in the last letter that I received from you, you seemed concerned that we were concerned over the copyright matter on the book we were discussing that you and Walter may write. Let me try to clear that up a little bit. The thing that we were concerned about was the fact that if you publish portions of our transcripts in a book, and at a later date we want to publish the same transcripts in a book of our own, it has happened before that a person in a situation like this then would have to get permission from your publisher to use our own transcripts, since he has already published them prior to our publishing. I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say. We just didn't want to be put in the position, after the publication of your book, in having to pay your publisher to use our own material, which he has already published. So that was our only concern, and I'm sure there's a way of getting around it. It's not too big a thing, but we had been advised to watch out for this because it might happen inadvertently, of course, but it does happen sometime, and people have had to pay for their own material when it was previously published. So I guess you can hear in the background my kids raising Cain downstairs, but I hope you can ignore that and hear my voice. Things are pretty rough right now. I think I mentioned that earlier. We will try to get on the ball and get you some more transcripts for your files there. I have piles of them that haven't even been typed yet, so we're pretty far behind. But I hope things will look up pretty soon. And when winter's over, maybe things will be better. I guess that's about all I have for now. I hope this tape arrives in good condition, and I'm hoping to hear from you soon. So, best wishes for now.